This call is now being recorded.
All right. So, AJ, thanks again for joining us here for the Podium Finish. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us. AJ, it's been a strong season so far with your wins at Las Vegas and Mid-Ohio. With this quick start in 2021, what's it like to go out there and know that you have a chance to win each weekend?
Well, it makes it fun. I mean, quite honestly, that's what it's all about. You want to show up to the racetrack and know that you have a shot every weekend. And I feel like at College Racing, we do. You know, some of it, I'm learning each week what I need in the race cars, and College Racing's learning me. You know, you take out this year, we only ran a couple of regular oval races, I'd call them, besides Super Speedway. So, yeah, just trying to learn and get better each week. You know, some weeks we have a lot of speed, other weeks, a little bit off in the sense of just trying to get that right feel on the race car. But, yeah, I mean, it makes it so much fun to know that when we show up and if we get everything right and I'm comfortable, we definitely have a shot to win.
It reminds me a little bit, and kind of it might be a bit of a big comparison, but it reminds me a bit of how Jimmy Johnson and Hendrick Motorsports got, you know, their communication and chemistry down pat. You know, it might be the Cup Series, but in the Xfinity Series, teamwork and having things gel together is very indelible, of course. So kind of like Larry McReynolds would say, hey, he's just out there to grind a good top 10 finish or a top 5. So those are the things I have noticed, you know, covering your races so far with the team. And it seems like your team success, it has coincided with the growth of College as a whole since the past 2 and 2.5 years. And like you mentioned, you guys have only done more of the traditional oval races, like, really this year, other than the partial schedules in the last year and a half. But so, from your perspective, what is it like to see the organization grow by leaps and bounds, even during a challenging time like the pandemic?
Yeah, it's been really enjoyable. You know, that's something that I probably found more enjoyment in and pride to a certain degree, just being a small part of it, than I really ever expected. You know, in 2019, I signed up to do 5 or 6 races. I didn't think of anything past that. And, you know, we had some good success in the road course and super speedway races that we ran. And then last year, you know, we kind of, in a way, almost had the same schedule plan, but with the pandemic and Matt Colick wanting to run more races, you know, that led to going to Atlanta and getting my first oval win ever and their first oval win besides the super speedway, and kind of just carried on a little bit to the point to where we got at the end of the year and they gave me the opportunity to go full-time racing. So, you know, it's probably a better question for Matt Colick and Chris Rice about, you know, how much of a factor I play in it, but it's something that even when I wasn't in the car last year, I'd be watching every race and trying to do everything I could to maybe see something or text Chris Rice and ask questions and things like that, just to try to help as best that I could. So, you know, I think it's very true. At least I feel like, of course, I want to win the race, but, you know, if one of my teammates wins, we're still all a part of that win. And that's been a lot of fun and really that's where I find a lot of enjoyment in. And I think it shows when Justin Haley won last year and Ross won at Daytona 2 years ago. And then when Jeb won this year at Talladega, I mean, we all are happy because we're all a part of that. So that's what makes this team so special.
It's such an authentic celebration whenever you guys win. I mean, even if one of you has a bad day, but then Justin or Jeb wins, it's just jubilation all around. It's not like a practice or rehearse type of celebration that we may see in other forms of motorsports. You guys really do root for each other. It's such a close relationship that even with Jeb being kind of the new kid in town, it's pretty neat to see how you guys just mesh together.
Yeah, Jeb, you know, I've always respected Jeb so much because he hasn't had a full-time ride in the last several years, and he's a grinder. And, you know, his family and especially him and his dad, Ward, you know, they've done everything that they can to try to stay in the sport. So it means so much to him. So, it truly is. It's you know, when he has success and when Justin was finally able to break through last year and get an Xfinity win, especially what it meant in the 11 car, because that's the house car. That's the Lee Filter car. That's been Matt Colick's baby. So it's special anytime that one of us can win. And, you know, no doubt, you know, you ask Justin, you ask Jeb, and you ask myself, you know, are we the ones that want to win? Of course, but it really means a lot. And I think just especially where I'm at in my life and career, like when one of them wins, like we all win still. And that starts with just the attitude that Matt Colick sets, that Chris Rice sets at the shop for all the men and women. And that just carries on down. Every person in the shop is working on every car. It's not the 11 team. It's not the 10 team. It's not the 16 team. It's every person in that shop has a hand in all three of the cars before they leave to go to the racetrack. So it is truly a team organization win anytime one of us wins.
And that's what I think makes you guys such a great organization to cover, you know, not just in the last few years, but even when colleagues came formed. I mean, it's just been such the epitome of someone's dream, and it's expanded upon what he probably imagined, and it's still growing by leaps and bounds, and it's just inspirational to see. You know, not even the pandemic can slow you guys down. Not even driver changes can slow you down, and everybody, man or woman on that team, is going to put their every effort into it. And it's such a noticeable characteristic of everybody, no matter what their role is. And it's such a New England Patriots type quality to have, where everyone just does everyone does their job. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters, is you guys win, doesn't matter who. And it's so neat to see. Now, we've seen a lot of changes within the world of NASCAR. Obviously, more road courses on the schedule, new team owners coming up into the Cup Series, or even just any of the NASCAR series. And, of course, the much-discussed next-gen car is around the corner in the Cup Series. What's it like to see all of this buzz and excitement around you with these new team owners, these cars, everything that's definitely going to change a lot of things?
I think it's very important for our sport. You know, you've covered it for a long time, Rob. I mean, I think there was a time a few years ago where we all kind of looked around like, what's going to happen here? Like, there's nobody coming into the sport. Sponsors were starting to decline a bit. And just, you know, it really was, okay, what is the next growth of this sport going to happen? Because I think we're all at times a little bit worried. Nobody really wanted to talk about it, but like there's no new blood coming in here, and what's going to happen? We love the team owners that we have, but, you know, to keep having the sport grow, you need new team owners, young team owners come in, some new ideas, maybe some new sponsors. And all of a sudden, in like one little spurt, like it's happening. And, you know, the new car looks really cool. I haven't had a chance to drive it, but I think that's going to be fun to have that car come out and kind of go to the next level of NASCAR, the way it looks, the way it sounds, things like that. But more importantly, I think it comes down to the team owners and bringing in new sponsors. You know, Matt Colick starting 6 years ago as an Xfinity team and now moving up to a Cup team, a guy like Justin Marks, so young and so many great ideas, a great business sense, you know, can bring in a guy like Pitbull, Denny with MJ, you know, so on. So, really more, it's more of the growth of getting team owners like that coming in the sport. You get guys like MJ and Pitbull that are so global, and that brings attention to NASCAR from different levels and different people that maybe have never looked at it before. So in just a quick couple of years, it went from what's going to happen to there's a lot of new excitement around, and that's only good for all of us, right? Like, it's good for us drivers, for the fans, for the people that cover the sport, because as big as it seems sometimes, we could all agree we're in a little small pond that we're all working together because it's our livelihood. So it's, it's a big deal what's happened over the last couple of years.
I think it's one of the most exciting periods I've been through covering the sport. I've been around for the last 13 years, and yeah, I mean, that's kind of been a fear of ours a little bit. It's like, what's going to happen next? Because, you know, a lot of the established car owners are, you know, getting a little bit older, and we don't know publicly, like, what's going to happen. But like you said, this explosion of new owners has come. It's just been so cool to see. And all this changing around of charters and new team owners, driver combinations, like, there's just so much about it that not even a program next year is going to explain. So, I mean, it's just a really fun time to be in the sport and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and the charters, I mean, you kind of hit on it there. Like, for a while, the charters, like, we kind of looked at it like, do we really even need these? Like, nobody's coming. Like, what are these for? And all of a sudden now, over the last 2 years, we've seen, like, the fight to get these charters. And I haven't really talked to Matt or Chris about what they've had to go through to get the charters, but I mean, it shows that, like, it's important, because there's now more team owners and cars trying to come in than what we had before, where we didn't even have enough cars, it seemed like, and the charters didn't mean anything. So it's good for all of us. It's good for the sport.
More competition, it just means that there's going to be a really healthy series, whether you're Cup, Xfinity, or Trucks. And I think we can all agree that we need to have as much healthy competition out there, so that, you know, not just for me as a journalist, I'm sure as a driver, you want to have as much competition out there so that each race day weekend is a challenging one. It's not like, oh, I got 10 drivers I have to go after versus, well, maybe I have 15 to 20 now that I have to kind of, you know, pair myself up against.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there was a time in Cup, I mean, like, it was, I mean, you looked all, I mean, really my first year, couple years in Cup, I mean, there was 55 fully sponsored cars that were just trying to make the race, let alone racing against them, and you weren't guaranteed to beat any of those cars once you got in the race. And, you know, so you want the best of the best in there, whether it's teams and drivers. And, you know, I think if you look at Xfinity, the quality of the field this year is probably deeper than it's been the last couple of years. You look at the trucks, I mean, the young talent with the mix of the veterans, I mean, that series is really fun to watch. So, you know, just hopefully it stays like that. That's the Cup side of it is obviously really important because that's the pinnacle, but it's also really important to keep the Xfinity series strong, the truck series strong, and those team owners that aren't in Cup wanting to keep spending money in those series, because, you know, young drivers want to come in and bring sponsors and bring money because their ultimate goal is to reach Cup. So Cup's always going to be the what you look at, but it's just as important to keep trucks and Xfinity just as strong and keep that growing as well.
Oh, I totally agree. And if you do, I mean, you also establish fan bases, not only with the up-and-coming drivers, but, you know, drivers like you who have made a home in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, you're not just, you know, just going out there and happy to ride around. You're making some differences out there with being this competitive front-running driver for colleague racing and in the Xfinity Series, which does lead me to my next question, of course, for you. You and colleague racing seem to be about as good of a combination as Mr. Trickles is with Xena. So how comforting is it as a driver to know that you've got you finally got your team, that, you know, they feed off your energy and you also do the same with them?
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing that I've always tried to show, and hopefully if you ask any of my teams that I've driven for or any crew members that have worked with me, you know, my passion to go out there and try to be the best for myself, for one, you know, it's one of those things, like, you don't, you know, and there's certain people that say they don't, you know, they don't care what other people think. And I've always kind of been like that in the sense of the outside world, but I've always truly cared what the people think about me inside the race team, because they're the ones, the men and women, I mean, they have my life in their hands and they're building the race cars. And I've always wanted to show my appreciation and just how much it means to me to be at the best for myself, for them, for my owners. And, you know, College Racing, it's Matt Colleague is just a great guy. He's a fun guy. He's easy to be around. He's easy to talk to. Chris Rice is the same way. And, you know, the great thing about the team is you can be open and honest. And that's not always the easiest thing to do because it can be hard. I mean, like, and we're not easy on each other. You know, Chris will be the first one to tell you, like, I'm hard on him. Like, how do we get better? But I also expect him to be the same way. And he is with me. Like, how do you want me to be better? Like, how do we do this? But at the end of the day, if you go to war with each other against the rest of the field, against the rest of the teams, you go to war together and you know that no matter if you have that hard discussion with each other or you have that easy discussion with each other, then no matter what, those people are going to have your back, then that's what makes you strong. And that's what we have at College Racing is that the fact that we can have those open and honest talks, but know that we have each other's backs. We're in it together, good or bad, win or lose. And, you know, and then away from it, no matter what happens, you can still have so much fun. I enjoy going to the shop. It's always fun with the attitudes in there, hanging with the guys. I love going to hang out with Matt Colleague and Chris Rice and whatever we're doing. And it's just a fun team to be a part of. And the bigger thing is the want out of the organization to continually get better is what I love, is always the push to get better. Whether we've had a fantastic weekend or we've had a struggled weekend, like, we're always pushing to be better, and that's what makes it a little bit easier every time. Just knowing that, like, we're all in it together, that we can go out there and work hard together and have fun together, you know, it's just – I'm not really sure what else to say. I mean, it's just a great organization to be a part of, and I'm having the most fun that I've had in a long time, if not maybe my career with them.
It's noticeable, and I mean, and it's also a good thing not to be complacent. You know, like you said, if you have a bad day or a good race weekend, you guys go to war with each other to, you know, say, hey, you know, it sounds like a situation where you guys don't get too high or too low on each other, and that's something so, in you know, it's so important to have, no matter if it's racing or working a real job in the office, like, you just have to have that desire to go out there and be the best you can. And if you do, more times than not, you're going to get the results that you deserved at the time, and you can strive for even better from that, for sure. Now, you've been in the NASCAR scene for the last 15 years, and you talked a little bit about those huge car counts back in the day, and even though I wasn't covering it back in 2006, I certainly can remember that far back. But when you consider everything you've been through, what advice would you share to your younger self, especially to the one that was making the leap from champ cars to NASCAR?
Well, I mean, it was a challenge for sure, switching series. And you know, I personally didn't even want to do it the way it went down, where I went straight to Cup. I thought I was going to be doing a lot more Busch races at the time and truck races. And you know, for whatever reason, we didn't do it. And, you know, there was no guarantee of racing every weekend. So there was a lot of races that we missed. So I was missing a lot of track time. And I think the biggest thing I could have done early in my career was probably ask for some advice. But, you know, I came from a series where, you know, you were friendly with each other, but you didn't really go ask for advice because you didn't want to feel weak of asking, okay, how do I do this? Or what should I expect and things like that. And I think nowadays it's a lot more open about those conversations. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would never go back and change anything. The advice that I would have is to try to enjoy it a little bit more, because I'd always put so much pressure on myself. But Rob, I mean, it's one of those things I always laugh, and you know, no matter what I do, whether it's playing golf or whatever I'm doing, like racing, like, I expect the best out of myself. So I am intense. I am hard on myself. And you know, I've had people go, you got to change that a little bit. I'm like, well, I've been racing cars professionally, getting paid for 20 years. And sure, you'd like some more success, but at the end of the day, won in open wheel. I've won in IMSA. I've won in Cup. I've won in Xfinity. I've been very fortunate. So, you know, I kind of joke around and say, like, there's no reason to change now. I am who I am. You just got to enjoy it a little bit more. And that's what I'm trying to learn to do and doing well at it. Cause I'm, believe me, you've seen me before a race. I'm intense and I'm nervous. And, if it's a race is bad, I'm still pissed off after the race and mad, but just trying to get over it a little bit easier and enjoy it more. So honestly, I don't know if I would really change anything about it. You know, it's, I am who I am. It can be good and bad sometimes, but I mean, it's worked out okay.
I'd say so. And it, you know, to people who say you need to be lighter, easier on yourself, I do think that sometimes being hard on yourself can actually be an asset to you because it means that you care. And not that the opposite wouldn't hold true, but obviously I think you're the kind of person I've noticed over the years who, you know, you wear your heart on your sleeves. You're very passionate about what you do because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the team that you're with. And, you know, you have a lot of great memories in the sport too. So I think there's just so much more to than just saying, oh, you're just intense. I think even though I'm not a race car driver, I try to understand a little bit of what you go through, and I can appreciate your perspective and your approach because to me, you're getting to do what you love, and that there's nothing greater than that other than, you know, other than personal, of course. On the professional side, I think that's the best thing we can all do.
Yeah, for sure. And it has nothing to even do with being a race car driver to a certain degree. I mean, it's just who I am. I want to be at the best, and anybody that really cares about what they do, whether it's a hobby or a profession, like if you truly care, I mean, it's okay to be hard on yourself. I mean, sometimes I've been too hard on myself, and I've definitely got myself in some bad, dark places when it comes to it. But, you know, you learn from it and you grow. And like I said, I'm still here, and I've had a fairly decent career, and I'm still going. So I'm all right with it.
And you're such a great driver to cover over these years. And I always love getting to see what you do just because of the fact that if I had to imagine what it's like to be, if I got to be a race car driver, even though I look up to Jeff Gordon, as far as who would I be like as a driver, I would say you kind of remind me of myself a little bit just because I'm kind of the same way as a journalist, even though when you've probably seen me, I look like I'm having a lot of fun, a little bit more relaxed than the other journalists, but deep down, I'm pretty competitive, and I do really work hard to get what I can get, despite the fact, unlike you, I'm like AJ Allmendinger part-time schedule during the Xfinity Series these last few years, hoping to get to be like you today full-time.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about pushing and not giving up, so, I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple more questions for you before I wrap things up because you answered most of the ones I haven't even asked. So I think you've tapped into my phone and read my questions, or not. But let's actually go to a fun one. Free association, which I think I've done with you a few times. But it's, you just tell me the first thing that comes to mind with the following words. We'll start off with nickname.
Dinger.
I like that one. Favorite track?
Laguna Seca.
Ah, the old corkscrew over there in Monterey, California. I love that track. Heat training?
Terrible at it.
Yeah, I am too. It's like always.
Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Like, I would say it hasn't worked because it's still hot in the car. So
that's true.
I still haven't figured out what training I need to maybe like change my mind about how hot it is in the car sometimes. So you can use any of those answers because they're all the same. Like, it just hadn't worked yet. Like, still hot.
That's fair. Guilty pleasure food.
Oh. Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to say chocolate chip cookies.
Or Mike and Ike. Mike and Ike's or Sour Patch Kids. Either one.
Cool. Dream car.
Ferrari, because I used to always walk by when I was a kid with my mom in Los Gatos, San Jose, but we'd always walk by in Los Gatos, the next town over, where I was born, and there was always a Ferrari dealership, and I'd always look at those cars walking by, and I always thought, I mean, it's a Ferrari, you can't go wrong.
I personally like those ones. My favorite would be the Testarossa, but only because I liked Miami Vice as a kid.
Nice, yeah.
Well, I just don't want to end up looking like Don Johnson with a mullet, but, you know, the car is cool, and I would like to drive around with the Crockett Steam in my car going to Homestead, Miami one day. My last question for you, I didn't ask him Mr. Tickle's question, and by the way, I love the fact that you thanked him in Victory Lane at Mid-Ohio. I don't know if you remembered when I challenged you to thank him, but that made me smile from home. My last question for you is not about Mr. Tickles, but I'm going to put you in the hot seat, the name of your segment, by the way, on this article. All right, my friend, give me three reasons why you and your number 16 team are going to win this year's championship.
Ooh, good question. For sure, determination. Definitely the family atmosphere that we have at our race team. And I think by the end of the year, we keep doing the things that we're on the path doing, we're going to be the best organization in the series.
Those are three good reasons. I'm sold. You don't have to even be like Brandon Brown on the top of your race car to convince me. I'm all the way. Not to put any pressure on you, but you are my pick to win the championship. So if you do win, hopefully you remember some kid that interviewed you back in New Hampshire and his friend at the time, and reconciled with that friend. So she is going to be so excited that I've interviewed you, and I promise you she won't be nervous.
Perfect.
Well, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today here on the podium finish. I do hope to talk to you again when I get to cover the race at Texas in October, when I finally get to be back. But did you have any last words, any shout-outs you want to give to the fans?
No, man, I appreciate all your hard work and what all of you do for our sport and for our teams and us as drivers. I truly appreciate, and I know we all do, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, AJ. That really means a lot to me, and always enjoy covering you and the colleague team. So absolutely, my friend. Anytime you need us to do a shout-out or a story for you guys, we're there to do it for sure. And, yeah, we've got some good pictures to accompany the feature as well. And then if you remember Stephen Conley from Mid-Ohio when he asked you the golfing question, he's been my man on my team. So we've got some awesome shots of you in Victory Lane that we'll use for the feature.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Hey, good luck this weekend and these next several races. And hope to see you in October when it's actually 40 degrees, not 145 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. I look forward to it.
All right, my friend. Take care. Tell your wife I said hi and hope that everyone in the family's been doing good. And I'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good. You have a good one.
You too, buddy. Take care.
See you.
See ya.